This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Scott Roeder of Evidence Room is joining us to discuss the mysterious case of the death of Dr. John Forsythe. This is beyond bizarre. I know you've done some research into this, and we've been talking about it now for several weeks. Is this a murder? Is this a suicide? If it is a murder, who would have done this? There's a lot of questions. I just want to open it up to you. What's your thoughts on all of the evidence that exists as of right now?
Yeah, well, I did. I watched that whole interview he gave with that gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if I should be apologizing for my suspicion when I was last on the show, where I'm like, I'd be looking at that brother.
Yeah, you know,
maybe I should be apologizing because I have very mixed feelings about it. For one, the interview is weird to me. And I don't know this brother, Richard. But I have my BS meter going off a little bit. It was a 45-minute interview. He spends about 25 minutes of that interview talking about cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
And I understand that that's what their business was and whatnot, but I said I thought that was highly inappropriate that he uses this platform to talk about his private business and cryptocurrency and talking about philanthropy and cryptocurrency to Africa. It doesn't make sense to me. I find that all weird, but I don't understand cryptocurrency. I kind of feel like that's just, you know, a big, you know, game that rich people play. Mm-hmm. And I don't get into that.
Yeah.
Cause I still don't think NFTs make sense. I don't even know what the hell that is. Yeah. Still to this day. And cryptocurrency, I kind of still feel the same way, but, he seems like a genuine guy. Clearly he's a very smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything else to compare this interview to, of him talking about other things, but this is a very fresh case in that the guy was just discovered, his brother, which he loved apparently, was just discovered, murdered in some bizarre way, killed, zip ties. There's this weird allegation of being, kidnapped before. The way he tells the story to me is just bizarre, but he could just be a bizarre guy. I don't know. I don't think it should implicate him in any way. I immediately when I watched it, I'm like, I feel bad I said that before. But then at the same time, I'm like, but do I?
Watched it after we last talked as well. And he comes across as a very genuine person. I don't get suspicious vibes off of him. I get maybe he's just kind of an odd dude. But I got that he really genuinely wanted to find out what happened to his brother. But I would guess that, if this had something to do with the business, something to do with the cryptocurrency thing, and them having some bad acts or bad actors somewhere in this that they had done wrong or someone perceived that they had done them wrong and wanted revenge, I would also think that maybe the brother would be in some sort of a danger as well, if that's connected, considering both of them were in it together. It was very strange, though. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't mean to interrupt you, Tony, but I think it also takes out of the ballgame any reasonable suspicion of any prior baby mama. I mean, obviously, he had his ex-wife, he had seven children, he had another girlfriend, we had a baby, and he had $17,000 a month in child support that he's going to pay. Listen, if somebody's going to owe you $17,000 a month in child support, you're personally being that guy's bodyguard. You don't want anything bad to happen to that guy.
Yeah.
Because that's your, for the rest of your life, that's a lot of money, whether you love him or not. And my understanding is that he was well capable of paying all of that money. So I think you take out any romantic relationship as a blowback, so I think it's got to have something to do with this business that he's got. Listen, the crypto world is weird.
Yeah.
I think, most people, I don't know anybody who's a crypto billionaire, but apparently there's a lot of crypto billionaires out there. And my understanding is these people, it's a weird game. And I think it's susceptible to, you know, suspicious characters at times.
Well, it is. I mean,
I don't know specifically who, but it's weird.
It's a preferred way of transferring illegal money and laundering money and things of that nature. I don't know, you know, what exactly they were involved in. They said that they had created some sort of crypto coin, but that's about all I understand of it. What I found rather interesting is the amount of seemingly double life John was leading. Initially was like, well, he's got two phones. Well, he's a doctor. There's rural and there's city, and you need one for both. Okay, totally understandable. I get it. But then they found three more in his RV that were apparently there and active.
Yeah.
Then he also, the week before, and I think this is one of the more telling things, was unusually generous. And from what I understand, John was a very generous guy to begin with, a philanthropist, always helping people, very much loved his family, took care of his family. So it wasn't like he never gave anything to his family, but it was one of those bigger gifts. Like, wow, like, I don't know why I'm getting this right now. Like, this is usually something you give, like, either on a celebration or an anniversary, or I'm dying and, you know, you should have this. Something of that nature was given to the mother, a bunch of jewelry from what I understand in what the brothers had said. And the brother also received something, but the brother didn't want to reveal what that was. And apparently was unusually affectionate and letting people know about his care and love for them right before he went missing. That to me in many ways says suicide, or it says he knows again that there's something up and there might be a risk on or a threat on his life, and he's getting ahead of the game. I don't know.
Yeah, man. I think you're onto something there. Because, you know, when, because I really, I don't, you're right. The brother, when you listen to that interview, he seems so genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And he says all of the things that you want somebody to say. And he was revealing, I think, important critical components of the police investigation. And he was holding back where I believe the police probably said, hey, don't talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, although I find the interview a little bit weird, at the same time, you know, I don't think that my radar goes off that this is a bad guy either. And then based on what you said here with, you know, and then I did read that he was exceptionally genuine. I mean, it makes sense, man. Maybe he knew somebody was after him and he wanted to make sure the people he loved were provided for ahead of time. I mean, if that was the case, you know, this guy's a saint.
I wonder if there was a threat on his life or his family's life. And if it was a, you know, you off yourself and your family will be saved. I don't know. I mean, there's so many ways this could go. Another area that had just come.
Well, but he was zip tied. How do you shoot yourself in the back of the head if you're zip tied?
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's true. That's true as well. The only other thing, I mean, yeah, the zip ties kind of throw everything out. The thing that I was also wondering about is did he have some sort of medical diagnosis that was very terminal, very bad, and he just wanted to end his life and not cause or not go through suffering and not put his family through suffering watching him die. But he doesn't seem like the person that then, well, the best solution is to go die in a lake with a bullet. That doesn't seem like that would be the logical thing. I think he'd be the one that goes to his family.
Yeah.
He does work in medicine and would be like, we're going to try and fight this. I'm going to try and fight this, not just go out and die.
Well, the zip ties take suicide out of it for me. So I think that, you know, that we have a scenario here where we do have a legitimate kidnapping. And if he was there, if he's that guy getting out on that video footage, then maybe he was voluntarily giving up his life because there was a threat on his children. You know, you would think a guy like that, you know, if I had the choice to give up my life so that my family would be safe, well, as a father, you got to do that, right? Because who are we if not the legacy for our children? You know, that's like throwing yourself in front of a bus to save a baby. That's a straight ticket to heaven. It doesn't seem this guy was up to any bad stuff, but, you know, cell phones are a little suspicious, but, you know, this is a guy who's making a ton of money. doing a bunch of different things. He's probably dealing with foreign people with the crypto stuff. And, you know, so I don't think the phones, caused me too much alarm. But the thing that does cause me alarm is the cryptocurrency business and any dealings that he might have had with suspicious individuals inside of that business. To me, at this point, is probably the hottest thing, you know, at this point to look at.
I think the phones may not really be anything nefarious, but I think those phones are probably going to tell the story of what actually happened.
Yeah, this case, I think, will be solved because when you've got 5-7 phones, you've got this guy who's dealing with big money, there is going to be a tremendous digital footprint. I think they're going to find out who did this. And chances are it's probably not the people who killed him, but the people who hired the people to kill him.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.